Welcome to Remote Guys Night, the show where brothers distributed across the world come together over the internet to drink beers, tell stories, and exchange jokes. I'm Tyler Boucher. With me tonight, I have Brett, Josh, and Ankit, my brothers and my honorary brother. Ankit is an author and a registered traveling nurse. What are you drinking tonight, Ankit?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on, Tyler, and my brothers. I am actually going with the screwdrivers, a little vodka and orange juice.
Nice. Classic. I like it.
Yeah.
You switch out the vodka for champagne, suddenly you're classy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's the only difference.
Absolutely. Have you ever had, I don't know if, I can't remember the exact name, but have you ever had like a tropical mimosa? But it's like, instead of orange juice, they use like that tropical drink where it has like four different juices. It's pretty good. Like,
okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds delicious. Yeah. I love pineapple juice.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
This is Brett, and I'm drinking Mirepoix Ale, one of my go-to faves. And I also happen to make a mean Mai Tai, in case anyone's interested. I'll ship you one, Ankit, if you want one.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that, actually.
What's in a Mai Tai?
Well, there's a few things. One is you got to make like an almond syrup, which I make on my own. And what you do is like grind up a bunch of almonds and you soak them in vodka overnight, and then you turn that into a simple syrup. Okay. And then I also will soak a bunch of orange or tangerine rinds in sugar as well. And then what they do is that you just toss the rinds in the sugar and you just let it sit overnight. And the next day, like the sugar pulls all the moisture out of the rinds.
Whoa,
and
this is like the most complicated drink I've ever heard of. But I guess usually people are like, people aren't making the syrups though, right? They're just buying them.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. It sounds well, cool. Yeah, well, then it's just juice and like some lime juice and some other things. You mix it up. I also do my own whip topping, which I do with like a little bit of gelatin and pineapple juice, and that comes out pretty good. But if everyone at home, I got to give you guys, I'm going. Everyone at home, I got to give you guys some tips. Make your own simple syrups. You can just, it's just one part water, one part sugar, or you can use maple syrup. And like if you do something, just like chop up a jalapeno and throw it in there. And then strain the jalapeno out at the end. You'll have this nice, spicy, tangy simple syrup, which goes really well to go with bourbons. You can do something sweet, like a fruit or whatever else. And it, like, hey, it's just so easy to do.
You should make drinks for the family Christmas party coming up.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Josh.
Those times I went to Hawaii and I always get a Mai Tai. It's one of my favorite drinks out there. All that time, I didn't realize all the work that went into it. So I'm going to have an even greater appreciation for them from now on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it, like those nice bars, they spend a lot of time, money, and energy. I cut corners honestly when I make mine too. It's mm-hmm. crazy. Anyways, my rant's over. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, Josh, you got to show Brett up. What are you? How'd you make your drink?
Oh man, tonight I'm drinking vodka and lemonade tonight.
Okay. Oh nice. Oh man. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, the flathead.
Right? I tend to drink the same thing a few weeks in a row until I kill it.
But, yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm drinking a Guinness, which I haven't had in forever. But when we did that VR, me and Brett did a VR night the other night, and they had my buddy had a stock fridge with a bunch of Guinness, and he just handed me a bunch. So I was like pocketing them. I'm like perfect. They're pretty good, except for that weird little night. They have that little ball. It's like a nitro ball in the can. Mm-hmm. Super weird. I remember the first time I got one of these, I was freaked out that like something felt was like manufactured and fell in the beer or something. So I cut it open, and there's just like a little ping pong ball in there.
Yeah, I looked that up once. I think it's designed so it'll squish, and so that way they can have more nitrogen in there.
Yeah,
and then yeah, something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. I looked it up a long time ago. Actually, another pro tip with those Guinness, add some Guinness to your water and your mashed potatoes. It's kind of spendy, but it's going to make your potatoes taste so good.
I can see that. Yeah. Some flavor.
Yeah. Really good. Yeah. Yeah. You got a joke for us today, Josh?
Yeah, sure. All right. I just found out my girlfriend needs a kidney transplant. but there's nothing to worry about. Her body hasn't rejected an organ in 25 years.
Oh, man.
Oh, oh, boy. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, man.
That was highbrow. That was highbrow.
Keeping it classy.
Of course. You know, well, okay, no, never mind. I don't have a mimosa, so I brought the right drink.
Yeah, that's right. Going hard. Wait, your book? Oh, it's free. I was checking out your book on Amazon, and it's free on Kindle.
But you pay
the paperback. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's like if you're a Prime member, right, or something.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, I'm a Prime member.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's how it works. Oh, that's so. Awesome. But yeah, so yeah, I love you, Apu. It's actually, so I've written several books in the past, and I was actually in the middle of one of my other books when this whole Apu controversy really broke, and I decided it was appropriate for me to write a book kind of as a rebuttal to that whole controversy, mainly because the guy that made the documentary, he blocked me on Twitter when I tried to have a conversation with him, and he did not want to have that conversation, it seemed. So I said, well, I'll do the next best thing. I'll write a book about it. So that's what I did. And I like it. I basically went through the documentary and gave my opinions as to why or why not I agree with what he said. Mostly disagree, but nonetheless.
I kind of guess what the Apu controversy is, but I'm not familiar with the documentary or whatever. Can you, like, give a brief overview?
Sure. Oh, sure, yeah. So it's called The Problem with Apu. And I admit, I enjoyed the documentary. I enjoyed his perspective. It was made by the comedian Hari Kondabolu, who's an Indian-American comedian. I never heard of him before the documentary, but he basically talked about how Apu, for all these years and decades, has actually been a racist stereotype, a negative stereotype, and offensive, and you know, just offers his opinion about it. And
be clear, Apu's the character on the Simpsons.
Yep, Apu's the Indian American character. He's the owner of the Quickie Mart. And I assumed everyone probably knew him, but
who doesn't know the Simpsons, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So he's the Indian American character on there that runs the Quickie Mart, which, you know, it's a very common thing for Indian Americans to run convenience stores. I don't know why that is, but yeah, I'm sure you guys have walked into enough convenience stores and noticed that the person behind the counter is of Indian descent, likely. And so that's, so they use that stereotype in The Simpsons, and it's been around for decades. And the problem with Apu addresses that particular controversy. I disagreed with it, and as well as so many other people did. And I felt that it was appropriate for me to comment on that documentary, since I am also of Indian descent and have a similar background to Hari, who made the documentary. So I figured it would just be nice to have another voice out there from Indian Americans who do not oppose Apu.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Now go over your rebuttal a little bit. I mean, maybe a little more in depth as far as like what you agree or disagree with, or what things, like, so you do think it's okay, I guess.
So I think it's a perfectly fine stereotype. The thing I mainly focused on was the fact that on The Simpsons, if you watch several, and I haven't watched The Simpsons in over a decade, so I mean, it's a little, I'm not too up to date on it, but from what I remember, Apu, if you watched him through multiple episodes and seasons, he's actually a very positive character because he's very educated. He came to America, started his own business. He runs the Quickie Mart. He's a great family man and, you know, just an overall good friend to everybody and just a, you know, very bright, intelligent character. Yeah, is he goofy and, you know, does he have a goofy accent? Of course. And do they make, you know, lighthearted jokes towards Apu and Indian people and also Indian culture in general? Yeah, of course they do, but it's comedy. That's what comedy does.
Right.
And I don't really think we should get butthurt over every little thing that happens in our society. It's some things can just be taken as a lighthearted joke and don't have to, you know, create such an uproar.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
I agree with that. Yeah. Like, when I think of Apu, I don't think of, like, oh, that evil character Apu or that stupid character Apu.
Right.
I guess when I think about him, I think of, like, oh, like, he's a cool character. He's a funny character.
One of the most recognizable on the show. And for good reason, I think.
He's actually, in a weird way, one of the most level-headed characters, isn't he? I was just thinking about this, because you're saying he's not really crazy. And I was like, yeah, most of the characters are, like, crazy or wacky.
Yeah, he's like that one character in crazy cartoons like this. And, like, they're, like, the only normal-thinking people. Like, he's kind of one of those characters. Maybe not exactly, but everyone else is doing insane shit except for him.
Yeah. The voice of reason.
Yeah, you got like Apu and Marge, and I think that's like almost it. That's the only two I can think of that are normal people.
And it's so very true because, you know, on one side, just take The Simpsons, for example, you have Homer, who's a total buffoon, and, you know, and then you have Lisa Simpson, the daughter, who's very intelligent and also very opinionated and often wants to shove her opinions down everyone's throat. And Apu, I remember there was one episode where Lisa becomes a vegetarian or a vegan. I can't remember which one, but you know, she's kind of trying to shove everybody's, you know, shove her views down everybody's throat and you should live the way I do. And she learned that Apu is also a vegan, and Apu tells her, listen, you know, this is how I live, but I never expect anybody else to live the same way I do. So that was, you know, that's a moment where you can see that Apu is a very level-headed character and a very smart character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I always enjoyed Apu, and certainly growing up as an Indian, I took my share of teasing. You know, I certainly was not victimless in that whole thing. And
sure.
When I would watch certain episodes and Apu was a focal point, I would certainly be like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to hear about this week? But, it's one of those things. It's like who isn't a stereotype on The Simpsons? And it's just all in good fun. Even though it may have gotten annoying at times, I was never offended, let's just say, by the whole characterization of it.
Any hate mail from the writing the book or your opinions or anything like that?
I haven't yet. It's funny because, like, it seems that most people actually agree, but the people that don't agree, and this is just kind of more my personal experience, the ones that don't agree with me don't seem to want to have the conversation about it. So that's really, it's just like, yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's out there, you know, my opinion's out there. Anybody that wants to share their opinion, whether they agree or disagree, is welcome to. I've even challenged Hari to come out and have a debate with me about it, or even just a nice discussion like we're having right now. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened, but if it does, I welcome it. If not, whatever, my opinion's out there, and I'm going to keep sharing it.
I can read for free. I'm going back to this Kindle Unlimited thing because I'm stuck on it. So it says $0. If I read it, do you get paid? How does that work?
I believe so. I think it's like if you're a Prime member, it still reimburses me some way.
Nice. So they're taking the hit. Yeah.
Okay.
They're losing money on giving people access to a bunch of books.
Yeah, and I think, you have to pay for the Prime membership, right? That's true. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's a method to Jeff Bezos' madness. He's a multi-billionaire, so he must know what he's doing.
Yeah. All right, if you're listening out there, go onto Amazon, and if you have Prime, and read for free on Ankit's book, or buy it.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you want to buy a hard copy, and if you ever see me walking down the street,
strolling.
Yeah, you know, I'll certainly give you an autograph if you want one.
That's right.
Yeah. Or, you know, at the very least, just go online and read the first page. I'm sure Ankit won't be complaining.
Yep, exactly. Right. Yep. Hey, once people buy my book, hey, listen, of course, I want people to buy and I want people to enjoy my book. That's, you know, one of the reasons I write them. I want people to get something out of it, even if it's just entertainment. But also, I mean, if someone buys my book and it stays on their shelf, well, I mean, whatever people do after the fact with a book, you know, I can't really control. It's none of my business at that point. It's their book, so they bought it, so that's all I care about in that instance.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, and then speaking of the books, I'm looking at the other ones, and you have another book title you have is Going Global, The Life of a Traveling Nurse. And you told us before the show that you're in Atlanta right now and that you've just been there for like a month. So you're still doing the traveling nurse thing? Like, is Atlanta your new home for now, or is this just like a vacation? Or
yeah, it's my new home for now. It's I'm here for a few months working at a Grady hospital. So I've been travel nursing for about a little over 8 years.
Damn. Okay. So you've probably been a lot of places, I'm sure. Do you go overseas, or it's just like largely in the U.S. right now?
No, it's in the U.S. only.
Yeah. Okay. Because that doesn't like transfer or whatever. Are you doing like exactly. You do contracts with hospitals, or how does that work?
Yeah. I was wondering how that works, the traveling bit.
Yeah. So basically you have like, there's like several different travel agencies out there that basically travel nursing agencies or travel healthcare agencies.
Right.
So they have contracts with various hospitals or healthcare facilities around the country. And yeah, so you work with a recruiter. They basically send you what's available on the list as far as openings needed. I do dialysis in particular, but you know, if you basically work in any specialty, you can be a traveling nurse. But I do dialysis in particular. So they let us know what's open, and we basically choose from there. My wife's also a traveling nurse, so we just choose from there, and the recruiter kind of sets it up for us, and we go where we're needed. And yeah, we're usually there for about 3 months is usually how long the contracts are.
Okay. Yeah, are you employed by the hospitals themselves, or are you employed by another entity?
No, we're actually employed. We're actually considered contractors, but we're employed by the actual travel agency, travel healthcare agency that sets up everything. So yeah, we're considered contractors at the hospital, but we're employed by the actual agency.
You guys are asking Ankit the wrong questions. He's a nurse. Nurses always have crazy stories. Right. The weirdest thing you found up someone's butt. All right,
you know what? I have not personally seen anything, but it's funny. Like, I'm sure like ER nurses have the same stories, but I actually had a good friend that was an ultrasound technician, and he told me about a lot of the things people would put up there, and inevitably they would go through the ultrasound because they have to ultrasound that area to find out exactly how far up there it is and, you know, how painful it may be to get out, make sure it doesn't have spikes and things like that. So he's told me about all sorts of crazy shit that he's found up there.
Entire porcupine.
People always wonder how, don't really recall how it got up there is the biggest thing.
That's what I always hear. They're like, I don't know, I just slipped and fell and there's a flashlight up my butt. I have no idea.
Exactly. And you know, the thing is with your GI tract, people don't realize, like, when you stick it up there, up your butt to a certain degree, your like your digestive tract, your rectal area, it's kind of works as a vacuum. So you get it up there a certain point, it's going to get sucked in, and people don't really realize that when they're doing it. So in case you guys have any weekend plans, you know, just keep that in mind.
Yeah,
but put a string on it. Yeah, exactly.
I felt the suction before going up there. Like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's just like it pulls.
There's actually like who's that Australian comedian who's super funny? Does all the really controversial like religious jokes and like
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, he has a whole bit, and I think it's like one of his earlier bits, but it's about him. It's like him. He's on the road, like doing his comedy thing or something. And he's like in an apartment, and he buys a vibrating egg. And he shoves it up. Shoves it up his ass. So while he's like pleasing himself or whatever. And anyways, and exactly what you said happens, and it gets stuck. And it just, he's saying it just kind of suction. It keeps getting further and further.
He's talking about how he's using chopsticks
in
his ass to try to grab it and keep it from slipping up further.
Oh God! Oh no!
That guy's good with chopsticks. Like, even attempt that. Like, you got to be confident in your chopsticks.
I think the chopsticks work because he was like trying fingers, and he's like, you just keep pushing it further, and I think he finally he like got takeout and saved chopsticks and like leveraged that thing out of there. But it had been like a week, so he had like a week's worth of backup.
I would love to have seen that takeout order. I want water and chopsticks. Just
oh god. Yeah. Now, question: when he pulled it out, was it still vibrating?
I don't know. It's the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going,
right.
How do you pass a bowel movement then? If everything just gets sucked right up.
Huh?
No, I'm just saying normal operation. Like,
I think he was saying your body knows the difference between poop.
Plus, I mean, you have to force out a bowel movement a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
sure he was trying to force out the vibrating beads. I'm sure he was pushing on that one too.
Yeah,
I'm sure he tried that chopstick.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That knowledge is above my pay grade. You guys got to get a colorectal surgeon on the show someday.
That's who we need to talk to. That's who we need to talk to.
Your use is over. You can't answer these questions. So that means why you're on.
Just like you'll bring him on the show, he thinks he's gonna answer all these medical questions, and he's like, "So talk about people sticking stuff up their butt."
Yeah. Just dissect Jim Jeffries' entire bit, just top to bottom.
Oh man, I just had a colonoscopy. I should have asked my doctor if he wanted to be on the podcast. Opportunity here.
Did you really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I should have asked him.
That's where the colonoscopies. That's just they just check for cancer, right? That's the shebang. Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things.
Oh right. That was all on the podcast.
Yeah, I was all like, I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Boucher brain.
So
brain.
I don't know how familiar you are with colonoscopies, but you have to drink all that liquid before it causes you to have like horrible diarrhea for like an entire day.
Yep.
Well, I started doing that because my colonoscopy was the next day on recording day, so I was on the podcast recording from the bathroom.
Oh gosh!
Yeah. It was an interesting, a liberal use of the mute button for that episode.
Oh man, that's that's dedication right there.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You did manage to capture some liquid
on the recording. Yeah,
recording.
Oh gosh.
Okay. So no butt stories. What stories you got? You have to have at least
no
one
butt story. Yeah, wait. Hold on. What's the type of what's your specialty again? I think you said
dialysis.
Dialysis. I don't 100% know what that is, but if you could enlighten me, that'd be amazing.
Oh yeah, so that's people that are kidney failure.
Okay.
Oh. And kidney failure can be caused by a variety of reasons. Sometimes the most common being long-term diabetes or hypertension.
Okay.
But yeah, so people with kidney failure have to go through dialysis, which they basically get hooked up to a machine and their blood gets basically run through the machine in a filter and it gets sent back to them, and while it's getting run through the filter, it takes out all the excess toxins, electrolytes and fluid, which your kidneys normally do when they're functioning normally, but since they're not, you have to be hooked up to the machine, and the machine has to do the majority of the work for you. Pretty much, yeah. Or I'm basically a filtered kidney, but yeah, and they usually come in 3 days a week for a few hours each day. So it definitely is a big, it definitely is a lifestyle change for people that have to go through it.
Sure. It's crazy that's even possible, right? Like those people they'd just be dead, right? Without that. Like it's crazy. Oh, you can filter people's blood like that. Keep them alive.
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. It's pretty amazing because I didn't realize how many people actually would be on dialysis until I got into the field. But it could be a normal everyday work person walking down the street, because a lot of them still will live relatively normal lives. They'll work. Some don't. Some do. It all kind of depends on how the rest of their health and how they may take care of themselves outside of the whole dialysis session. So, I mean, it's not a fun disease to have for sure. It's not something that I would ever want to wish on myself or anyone else, but it's just when, if you do have that, kidney failure, it is nice that, technology exists that can, keep you from dying, that will still keep you alive and keep you able to, be a functioning person in a sense.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah. So they can, you can do what the kidneys can do effectively a few hours a day for a few days a week. So the kidneys are really only working a few hours a day, a few days a week.
Like, lazy bastards.
The heart, Yeah, what does the heart think about that? The heart, like,
right.
What?
Yeah. So, right. But and actually, no, that's actually not true. That the kidneys actually do function 24/7.
They're just not as good.
So, yeah.
You're
so
stuck with my joke on, Kit.
Right. Right.
Freeloading kidneys.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well.
Well, there's two of them. There's two of them, so they split shifts.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, that's what I said.
Oh man. But yeah, you know, I didn't want all the medical people out there thinking I was just a dummy. Yeah. He's like, "What, Anki? You didn't even know that? What kind of nurse are you?"
Just like, you lazy fucking kidneys. I'm over here having to help you guys out. You're barely doing anything. Look at the heart. Look at it go.
Still pumping. Oh my gosh. Yeah. but it is pretty amazing. But the kidneys do function 24/7. They are a very, you know, complex organs, and the fact that people have to, you're basically taking a 24/7 process and, you know, just turning it into, you know, a few hours a day, a few days a week. So it can certainly be very hard on people, especially at first, very tiring and things like that. But people do also have to make several lifestyle changes. You know, they have to really, really be careful of the foods they eat, how much water or liquid they ingest, because that fluid is no longer being naturally taken out of the body in a lot of instances. So they really have to be careful of how much fluid they drink on a daily basis and so on and so forth, because they're not peeing anymore normally. So it's a big lifestyle change for sure.
Are they all effectively waiting for a kidney transplant eventually? Is that the goal?
A lot of them are, especially the younger folks that end up on dialysis for sure. Not everybody. Some people either can't get a kidney transplant because, you know, of other health factors. Some people just, you know, especially people that may be older, they end up on dialysis. They just do it for the rest of their lives. A good amount of people do try to get on a kidney transplant list and hopefully get a transplant someday.
It's just a queue and you just got to wait in line, or can you like pay to get to the top, or how does that work?
No, you can't buy organs.
No.
You can't buy organs? That's not true. Hospitals do it all the time, Brett.
Right. Yeah.
They go to like Mexico or something.
South America. Yeah. And I was reading this one thing. It was kind of interesting. Like, people can like fly to some other countries, get a transplant, fly back, and also fly back and forth for medical follow-ups, and it would still be like cheaper to get a kidney transplant than it would be in the States and all that.
Like medical tourism or whatever.
That's wild.
You've seen.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's kind of fucked up though, because then you got like people in like third world countries selling their kidneys to like rich people in first world countries.
That does happen. Yeah, that does happen.
Yeah. Or even rich people in their own country. You know what I mean? Because a lot of you have a big wealth disparity.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, it's really good if a person has like a family member that might be a match, and that can kind of bypass a lot of the political nonsense that can often be involved with trying to get an organ transplant.
Yeah, kidneys, I feel like, is a more humane. Everyone's got two, so it's like explainable. Right. It's like, where did you get that heart? Everyone only has one heart. You know, that's kind of sketchy. Yeah. But kidney, like, everyone's got two kidneys. Like, that's believable.
I don't know. I ain't giving you bastards my kidneys. I need both of them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. How am I going to be able to drink this profusely if I don't have both my kidneys, damn it? Oh, yeah. All right, well, you can have one then, Brett.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Although I am an organ donor. I'm assuming most people here are organ donors.
You're such an organ donor person.
I am, yeah.
All right, perfect. Yeah, we're all smart people. If you're not an organ donor out there, become a fucking organ donor.
Remember,
you're dead.
I wanted to be a body donor, but there was like a bunch of hoops you had to jump through. Remember, there was that that OMSI, or I guess it's just like a traveling science exhibit, the Body Works or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I love that.
Bunch of dead, preserved bodies, humans and like animals and all kinds of shit. And at the end, they're like, "Oh, you can sign up to donate your body or something." So you'd be one of those like preserved bodies that everyone's staring at.
Yeah,
sweet.
Right? Wouldn't that be amazing?
So what was that? The micro penis specimen, Tyler Boucher.
The hoops. I don't remember what the hoops were, but it was pretty. I thought I was like, oh, I'm like. how it should be super easy to give your body away, right? But it's not.
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember there's a comedian I listened to. He was talking about when he dies, he's gonna donate his body to necrophiliacs. He's like, I'm dead. Why do I care?
Are you serious? Wait, who is this? What?
I forget what comedian it was, but it had me cracking up. He was like, I'm dead. Why do I care? He's like, I'd make their day. You know what I mean? Like, here you go.
That sounds like Doug.
I mean, I guess in that scenario it would be consensual, and I don't know that I could actually hate on it. You know, it's gross as it is. It's 100% consensual. Yeah. Like,
yeah. He's waiting at the door. It's coming in the mail today.
Yo.
Oh man.
I hope it's cold.
This is about the time where the guest starts having like second thoughts.
You should have listened to one of the previous episodes.
Right. No, it's all good. You know, I'm trying to think of like stories that would be of interest. Not a lot of and it's funny because I can't think of any like really.
There's not as many slapsticky stories maybe in that field, you know.
Right. And it's been a while since I worked in an actual hospital, and you know, actually, one thing. This is kind of funny, but we had this patient that was kind of confused. So he would mix things up. Like he would accidentally he kind of had like a lot of stuff wrong with his brain because just. You know, a lot of long history of drug use and everything. His mind just wasn't working properly. So he would do like weird things. Like he would like pee in a cup and then pour his drinks in a urinal and drink out of that. Things like that. And then like one time, like
you just catch him doing this stuff.
Yeah, and it was just like, yeah, and just because his mind was so messed up, like yeah, he would do that. And then like I remember
really just stories of Ankit's roommate.
Right.
Go ahead.
Exactly. No, actually, they're stories. They're personal stories. I'm sorry. No, but yeah, like I remember one day, like one of the nurses I was working with, she went to hand him. She wanted something to drink, and she handed him a cup off of his table, thinking it was apple juice. And the guy's looking at her crazy, like I'm not drinking that. And she's like, why? I'm like, because it's piss. And she's like, what?
Oh man,
that's funny. Yeah,
Brett pees in cups too, pees in water bottles.
Hey, okay, this is coming up. All right, man, this is real. This is real. So
he's a little woohoo, you know.
We go camping. Hang out. We go camping. This is real. We go camping. And it gets really freaking cold tonight when you're camping. You don't want to get up out of your sleeping bag, walk out of the tent, and go pee.
Sure.
So I bought a giant yellow water bottle, specifically yellow, because when I'm going to pee in. Right? No, this story gets better. So Max, our mutual friend, and Tyler are making fun of me the whole time because I did this. That night.
Yeah, we're like, why don't you just go pee outside, you idiot? We're camping.
Yeah, camping. So we're all sleeping in the same tent. That night, Max and Tyler both pee in this water bottle. And it's a big water bottle. They both just pee all in it, and then I wake up in the night to go pee, and as I'm peeing, it's doing that sound like the – like it's filling up. So I'm like, oh God. Like,
oh, shoot. Like,
yeah. So I have my thumb over the brim so I can feel any liquid hit my thumb and know I need – because it's dark out, so I can't see what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm just peeing this wide-mouth water bottle.
Oh, God.
And luckily, it didn't fill, but the next morning, it was like half an inch from the top. Like, this thing was hefty. In the next morning, and I remember the next morning I was laughing at them. I was like, "You fuckers, you're all making fun of me all day. Then what do? You go pee in my water bottle."
Oh god!
Yeah, to go pour that thing out. It was disgusting.
Brett's revenge has been fully realized this very moment.
Oh my god!
You know what, man? I gotta admit that does sound pretty convenient not having to get out of the tent at night.
Yeah,
exactly.
You just the trick is you need your own water ball though, because otherwise you gotta do that. Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
with mine in my tent next time.
Yeah.
In my bag. I guess you have it.
With my luck, I would probably be in the middle of a deep sleep and think it's my own water bottle and drink out of it or something, you know?
Oh,
gosh.
Yeah, that's the other problem. Brett was like, "Yeah, I made it yellow so you couldn't tell that it's pee." I'm like, "Don't you want to know that it's pee?" Like, shouldn't it be clear? You know.
Well, in the middle of the middle of the night, do you see the color of the water bottle?
Yeah.
No, no. The idea is one, to mark it yellow, so I know that's my pee water bottle because pee's yellow. And two is it's nice because then when like I'm walking back to like you know if there's any public areas I'm walking by people, I'm not have this water bottle full of freaking foamy piss.
Right. Like, they just think it's water, right?
That's exactly.
Good move. Yeah. Oh, that's true. And when you dump it out in front of their tent, they don't know either. You're just like, oh, it's just water.
Okay. And you know, funny story actually, like I'm not sure, I can't remember which area of the country you're located in, but last year I was like in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I was driving from Walnut Creek to San Francisco because I was doing an event out there, and gosh, I you know that the Bay Bridge traffic, the bridge that takes you into San Francisco, man, and it gets pretty backed up in the mornings.
Sure.
And I drink a lot of water. Like I drank like a entire bottle before I left, and boy, I ended up getting stuck on that Bay Bridge for over an hour alone. And it took me about 3 hours to get into San Francisco. And when I was stuck on the Bay Bridge, I had nowhere to exit, nowhere to go. I had no choice, and I really had to pee. So
I do what you gotta do.
I there was a water bottle that was full, so I dumped it out, and then I. Put it down, and I aimed as best as I could, and I filled up that water bottle.
A little bit got on the floor.
Traffic,
a little bit got on the floor.
Yeah, unfortunately. But.
We're in Portland, Oregon, actually, so not far. I've been to San Francisco for sure, but yeah, I have a good pee story too. It was snowing here. We call it like Snowmageddon in Portland, and we get snow, but it's usually like very light and it doesn't last long. And so when it mm-hmm. snows like really hard, the whole city shuts down. No one knows what the fuck to do. Like they don't know how to they don't have snow plows. They don't know how to ice the roads. They don't know anything. And so like literally the city shuts down. Like people don't go to work. They can't make it in. The public transit shuts down, everything. And so it was like that, but it was actually like the first day of that. It started coming down really, really hard snow. And I was quite a ways away, like 30 minutes away from home. So I start driving home, but at the perfectly wrong time, the traffic's getting worse and worse. The roads are getting worse and worse. People are crashing. They're in the side of the roads. No one has chains or anything. Everyone else is just trying to make it home. And some people, I guess, that day were stuck in traffic for like 8 hours, and they literally just left their cars on the highway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was like that crazy.
Yeah.
So I was in that, and I had to pee super bad. And I'm just in bumper-to-bumper traffic on like a highway. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. I don't have any water bottles or anything. And so I'm just like, oh, so I'm at like an intersection. The intersection is completely jammed. And I just get out of my car, stand next to my door, and just start peeing. Like everyone's watching me. Oh my God. I was just like, just focusing, like no stage fright. Just like, you know,
What can you do? What can you do? And
I held it as long as I could.
People even get mad at you in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, call the cops. They're not going to be able to get here. It's like,
yeah. Right. They pull up on some snowmobiles instantaneously.
Yeah, you're like, God damn it. You're now a sex offender, Tyler Boucher.
Oh, man. Believe it or not, that might actually happen. Nowadays, I know. So,
I remember I launched we were younger and we launched this firework mortar off, and it's illegal here, but we launched it off at this lake. Because we're in the kind of little secluded area in a lake. We're like, no one's going to fuck with us. We launched this mortar off. And then a no-show boat cop pulls up. And we're just like, what the fuck? Like, you can't even escape them out here.
They're like, we're good here.
Yeah, we're good. Here we're out in the woods, right? Like, it's fine. Boat
cop. You mentioned being that boat cop. Like, what's your job? I drive around this little lake all day.
Did you get cited or
no? No, he just kicked us out of the park that we were in or whatever.
Nice.
He's just like, bye.
Oh, bye.
And another thing, your kids smell like weed. Get out of my county.
I mean, that kind of sounds like the South, what you were describing. Pretty much everybody in around the South, they basically don't know what to do when it snows out. I mean, it was the same way in Texas. And but, you know, with all due respect, they're not used to that type of weather. So, yeah. I can't blame them. And they don't have this equipment out here either, so... Yeah, so what can you do?
What's the traveling story? Like, where were you before this? What's your favorite place?
Yeah, so I started traveling, yeah, like 8.5 years ago. My first ever travel assignment was in Colorado. Then I went to New Mexico. That's where I met my future wife.
New Mexico's awesome.
And then, so I've been traveling all around the country, currently in Atlanta. Before here, I was in Southern California. Before that, Vegas. Before that, the Bay Area. And then, you know, before that, I was like in the D.C. area and everything. So pretty much traveled up and down.
I heard D.C. is like wild. Like, it's actually kind of a crazy party town. And it's like the exact opposite of what I would have thought, you know? Like,
right.
You just think all these suits walking around, it's all official.
Yeah, actually outside of the, you know, the Capitol buildings and those areas, maybe like the politicians, no, it's actually pretty, it's also pretty, you know, poor and, you know, a lot of homeless. So it's not.
That's so crazy, right? The right there, too. Yeah, like, that wealth disparity is right there for everyone to see.
Oh, big time, big time, big time. Yeah, so it's a fun city. You know, the people there are kind of weird. I'm not really a fan of the people in D.C., but yeah, it's all right.
I don't get it. With all that money there in D.C., why isn't trickle-down economics working very well?
Right.
Reagan's no longer in power. So favorite place so far that you've lived?
My favorite place is kind of a combination. I love California. Mm-hmm. I love Colorado, I love like the Northeast area, especially Boston. Okay. So it would kind of be a tie. If I had to pick one, my favorite city in the country is probably Boston. Okay. I just love the city.
Really?
So yeah. So it's just a cool place. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Portland.
I was thinking of a different city when you said Boston.
Oh, really? Boston's a great city. I really love I just love the history. I really love the people. I love New Englanders. People complain about New Englanders and Northeasterners all the time. I don't know. I love the people out there. I just think they're very real and down to earth. And I don't know, some of my best friends that I've made live out in that area of the country, so
yeah.
I've
never been on the East Coast really at all, but I would love to go see like Boston, New York, and mm-hmm. more northeastern areas. It's definitely on my list.
It's definitely a different world, and you know, it's pretty interesting because I grew up in Sparks, Nevada. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty typical, you know, Western town, American town. Mm-hmm. You know, back when I was growing up, not a whole lot of diversity, and it's grown certainly since then. But I just imagine what my perception of the world would be like if I had like grown up in like a more real diverse, like melting pot type of city, like a San Francisco or a New York City, a Boston or a Miami, something like that.
Right.
I'm just wondering how my perception would be different of the whole world. Cause I mean, I grew up, and nothing wrong with that. I grew up around more white America and, you know, lots of rednecks and things like that, which it was fun growing up. I enjoyed it, but you know, that's kind of your worldview at the time, and then you start going out there and seeing a lot of other things, and I have a different worldview now, so it's pretty interesting.
Very similar story. It's like small town America. We're on the West Coast. Oregon's mm-hmm. Oregon's very white. Portland's a pretty awesome city, and like there's lots of like liberal-minded people here and whatever. It's pretty inclusive, but it's mostly whites. There's not a whole, it's not a melting pot by any means. But yeah, I feel that for sure.
For sure. Yeah. I actually didn't know that, because I've been to Portland once in high school, and it was only for like a brief moment. So I didn't realize that it was not very diverse
I mean, it's pretty inclusive. Like the diversity there is here. It's like, I feel like we're ahead of a lot of other cities in that as far as including mm-hmm. people, but yeah, it's not very diverse. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's probably the most diverse in our state. I would imagine, for sure.
But I mean, if you're comparing it to like a New York or Miami or San Francisco, it's like not even comparable.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Or Seattle. Seattle's not too far from you guys, right? Like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Seattle has a lot of a pretty big good Asian population there.
Yeah. It's a fun city. Yeah, it's definitely a fun city. Oh man. But yeah, no, it's been a trip. One of the best decisions I've made in my life to become a traveling nurse. And I've just, you know, and you don't just get like a romantic version of the place. You really, you're living there. You're getting an idea of what it's like to actually live in that area.
Right.
And, you know, so it's really, yeah, it's been a fun time for sure.
Does it pay pretty well, like in terms of like compare? Because I mean, because you're going where you're kind of needed, so
yeah.
There's a little bit of a supply and demand kind of thing going on there, right?
Oh yeah. You definitely get compensated well for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Nice.
Traveling craftsman. That's awesome.
Do you see yourself continuing to travel, or do you want to settle down at some point? And if so, where?
Yeah, we're gonna settle down. We actually bought a home in Aurora, Colorado, a few years back, so that's our home base. I'm going to wind down here pretty soon because, you know, it's even though I love it, it's still hard to leave your home constantly. So we're probably going to finish up in Atlanta and then either stop after here, maybe do one more. But, yeah, we're going to pretty much wind down and then just settle in Colorado and work out there.
I'm assuming you don't have any children right now. Just an assumption. I may be wrong, but are you planning on having children at all, or after you settle down, or no?
No children right now. But yeah, definitely planning on having children for sure.
Yeah. Do you want a house sit for you in Aurora, Colorado, when you're out and about?
Can we record from your studio in Aurora?
Is your next question, what is my address?
don't forget the Boucher Bros.
Yeah.
We're reliable. You met us once.
I got an extra room in my place. We could do like a trade. You come visit Portland, I'll come visit Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I like Colorado. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you guys want to come out there, definitely contact me. We can, if we're out there too, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to meet up with you guys. Now that I know more people in Portland, I would love to I'd love to visit you guys out there for sure.
Yeah, man, come check it out. It's a great city. And really some of the best stuff in Portland isn't like in the city, it's the stuff around it. Like the gorge and the hiking and like the nature surrounding Portland is really amazing.
Oh yeah. No, I love to hike, so I would definitely love to go on a hiking trip or something with you guys, you know, maybe even a camping trip with our own bottles.
Own bottles. That's very key.
That'd be fun, man.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely. Seriously, if you want to plan on coming out here anytime soon, just ping us. I'm sure you're probably gonna be happy to get back home to Colorado soon enough.
Oh yeah.
How long are you out in Atlanta? How long are you? So you're in Atlanta right now. How long are you there? And how long is your normal sort of? You're at one location.
Yeah. So our contracts are usually for 3 months. If they need us longer, and if we want to stay, we can always stay longer. Like for example, in the Bay Area last year, we were there for like 10 months because we really liked it. In Atlanta, we came out here early October, but we decided to stay a little bit longer because they still need us, and we like it out here, and so we're gonna stay here till like end of April.
I dig it. So you just live super minimal, like, right? You can't have a ton of belongings, which is great, I think. Like,
yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I take the clothes I like, and obviously our scrubs, and then important paperwork, and then my wife likes to bring like certain things that she likes to use, like certain cooking ware and everything. So yeah, we try to be as minimal as possible, but you know, we like to bring at least the important stuff.
Do you rent a place for a few months, or do you live in like a hotel? Or
yeah, our company actually sets us up with an apartment wherever we go. Yeah, so it's a good deal. It's a good setup, and it's great. You get to meet a lot of great people, and I learn a lot of new things wherever I go, and then they learn from me, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's a
So if you're single and you don't have a home base, you probably make bank because you're not paying for living expenses or a lot of living expenses, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I was gonna say that'd be annoying to like have to find a new place everywhere you go yourself, but they're setting it up for you. That's pretty
exactly. And you do have that option. Like you have two options. Like you can either take the housing stipend, like they can give it to you, so like a certain sum of money, or they can just set you up with housing. So what a lot of people do, and actually if I could start over, I might actually consider doing this. Some people will take like a big their housing stipend and just like set themselves up in like a small motel and like pocket a lot of money, or nice. They'll travel in a, I know some people that have traveled in RVs and just kind of like set up at an RV park.
Save you know, so
it's a, you know, it, there's different options for sure.
Mm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to play a game of Fuck, Marry, Kill?
Okay.
Sure. I got one theme for this podcast.
I'm going to grab another beer.
All right, I'll do the introduction while you're doing that, Tyler.
All right, shoot.
Yeah.
he's not going to want to remember this tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, guys, it is time to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, the game where I, Brett, give my brothers, Josh and Tyler, and my honorary brother, Ankit, three people, historical figures, or characters from which they must choose but to F, marry, or kill. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sure, Ankit, you're familiar with the game, right?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, pretty much everyone is, right? Mm-hmm. And today's theme is The Simpsons.
Oh, God. Get back here.
Actually, Ankit, it's funny when you're talking about Apu. I was thinking if Apu is the biggest character the Indian culture has in terms of like parody of them, we got Trump, white people. You know what I mean? Like that guy.
speak for yourself, Brett. Brett loves Trump. Yeah. You haven't been on the podcast so far.
I'm big Trump I make fun of him just to like, you know, like confuse people.
Well, you know, it's like you, even if you like the guy, you can still make fun of him about a lot. I mean,
hey, that's a good point.
I mean, there's things I do like about Trump. There's other things. Hey, I do laugh. Yeah. About him on, it's like, dude, really? So, I mean, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I like you guys, sort of. I make fun of you all the time, so.
Good point.
All right, Tyler. Today's genre is The Simpsons. If you didn't catch that, and our choices are, and Ankit, just so you know, if you have like any idea in terms of when you want to fuck, marry, kill, just throw it out there. You don't have to give a response necessarily. It's just kind of like whoever will just kind of go with it.
Is a poo going to be one of the choices?
All right, just wait.
Okay, just wait. I'm waiting.
Calm down. Are you relaxed?
Did you plan this? Did you like...
Right.
I'm kidding, you guys. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Homer Simpson, Ned Flanders, and... Okay, this one's going to be hard. Are you guys ready?
Okay.
Apu Nahasapimapeltilan.
Can you do it, Ankit?
Yeah.
Apu Nahasapima Petalon.
I wasn't too bad, right?
Way better.
is that a real last name?
Like I've never heard. Name? I've never heard of it before.
Okay, so it's made up.
Yeah.
It's like unnecessary making fun of Indian people, going against the whole premise of your book. There, and Kit. Come on.
Find out
what's his name. Aside, no, I'm joking.
all
right, all guys. Right. Homer Simpson, Ed Flanders, and Apu. Those are your choices. Fuck, marry, kill.
Now, am I first or?
No, anyone just go. Anyone who wants to go can just go.
Okay, so I kind of, I mean, I and here's what I would do. So, I would fuck Ned because with the whole like you know goody goody, I'm kind of thinking he's like. Good in the sheets, like kind of like a closet good fucker type
thing. Yeah, yeah. He's a lady in the streets and a freak in
and
the
he's
sheets.
He's probably closet for exactly. the always too, right? Yeah. So he'd exactly. enjoy it.
Exactly. So I would.
That's logic right there. Yeah.
I would marry Apu because I think he's a good provider.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I love the guy, but I'd got it. I have to kill Homer. Sorry, yeah. Homer.
The world's not going to miss him. The world's not going to miss
him. Yeah, exactly. You're a fat fuck that doesn't really do a whole lot. But I still love you, but I'm going to have to kill you.
And now we know your opinion on Donald Trump, but we're talking about Homer.
Yeah. Right. Oh, boy. The guy with no hair.
Again, we know your opinion on Donald Trump. Oh, shit. Man. All right. That's pretty good. I think I'd probably align with you, Ankit. I don't think I can top that.
I think I would. I'm not sure about the other two, but I think I'd have to marry Ned. You've seen the Simpsons movie, right? Did you see that cup of cocoa he makes for Bart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do.
Oh yeah,
in the windowsill.
No, I don't remember this. I don't remember this. What happened?
Bart's like mad at Homer for something, and he's talking to Ned next door, and Ned makes him a cup of cocoa, and he puts like whipped cream on it, and then he shaves like chocolate on top of the whipped cream, and then puts like a chocolate wafer in there, and then he puts a marshmallow, and then he browns it lightly.
Sounds like Brett making drinks.
Right. I'm like, man, hey, anyone that can make a cup of cocoa like that's got to be a badass fucking.
That's partner. True. Yeah. That might be worth marrying. You can deal with the religious stuff, right? Although, you know what? I bet you a poo makes some bomb vegetarian food.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right?
You know, the majority of Indian food really is vegetarian, or you know, a good chunk of it. So
yeah, I didn't realize that, but he's vegetarian, and he would always want to go out to Indian food, which I'm fine with because I love it. I love spicy stuff, and so we always go do that. And he was eating like all of it. I'm like, holy shit! I didn't even realize, you know, 90% of it is already vegetarian. Lots of beans and like vegetables and good stuff.
I didn't realize that either.
We have like all these options at work. I almost always eat the Indian food. I love it. And I'm not a vegetarian, but I love vegetarian food.
Oh, yeah.
So like, anyone's like, goes to the vegetarian restaurant, I'm like, I am down. Like, vegetarian restaurants are always the freaking best.
Dude, what you do is you get the vegetarian dish, and then you just ask to add meat. And it's like,
yeah, I do that all the time. I do that all the time. I always get like a vegetarian pizza with like chicken on it. You know what I mean? Like, I do that all the time.
So good. You get all the vegetables, and then you, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best of both worlds. I feel like places with meat, they like rely on the meat too much almost. Or like they spend all the money for the plate on the meat. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Or like vegetarian burgers, they're always better than meat burgers. Every time. Well, not always. There's crappy vegetarian
burgers.
Yeah,
that's not true.
You know, like if you go like this restaurant burger places in Portland, their vegetarian options are always better.
There was one place I didn't even know. It's a full vegetarian place and we just went there for drinks. And then I ordered a burger and I was eating. I was like, oh, it's so fucking good. And then my old roommate's like, can you believe there's no meat in that? And I was like, what? I was like, holy shit. It's amazing. Oh, wow. It's like pretzel bun is super good.
I've actually been meaning to try like a good vegetarian burger. I've never tried any vegetarian burgers.
So have you tried the Awesome Burger, Tyler?
Or is it Impossible Burger?
Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
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 So I've had it twice now.
It's a new thing. What is with that? They're like everywhere, though. They're everywhere. Is it just like a certain mix of ingredients? Like, you can get the Impossible Burger at New Seasons. You can get the Impossible Burger at Joe Schmo's Shack down the...
It tastes, looks, texture, everything like a meat burger. That's the idea.
And I want to know the science behind it. Maybe you could do like a fun facts about Impossible Burgers on the next podcast.
Yeah, I should do that. There is some interesting science behind it because they pull out like some weird like iron pectin or something like that, like they extract it from plants, and that's like the juice in the burger, and they mix that in there.
Right,
it's
all about imitating the physical properties of a real burger.
And honestly, it's probably one of the better burgers in terms of meat burgers I've ever had. But I actually like straight up like vegetarian burgers more. If you're gonna make a vegetarian burger, why are you trying to imitate the meat? You can make things so much better. Like, give me like a good like black bean burger patty with like some quinoa stuff in there, and it all seasoned well. It's so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Way better.
I agree. Same.
It is really good.
Mm. Do you guys have In-N-Out?
No, we don't. It's like California, Vegas, it's
like in a lot of the surrounding states. But I didn't know if it reached up to Oregon yet.
They built one in Oregon, I think. Right? There's one in like Roseburg.
Right. Yeah, they added because a lot of people on Facebook were like, I did the like 3-hour drive, and they drove all the way down to like Roseburg, Oregon, to get In-N-Out, you know, because it's the closest one or whatever.
People are crazy, man.
People are.
Yeah, I know.
In-N-Out's pretty good, though. That said,
although, when it's available, I go to it, but I'm not gonna like drive 3 hours, you know.
Oh yeah, I know. It's crazy when people do that, and it reminds me of something else. It's kind of cool, like, being in different regions. Like, everybody has their own regional thing that they love. Like, people in Texas hate In-N-Out Burger. They love, you know, Whataburger and things like that. So there's all these little rivalries going on around the country.
White Castle. Like, you know, is like that as good as they say?
Oh,
it looks so good.
I love White Castle.
I've never had White Castle. Yeah.
And then there's like a place called, in the South, there's a place called Crystal, which is also a slider place.
They made a slider place called Crystal in the South.
Yeah. Yep.
Crystal meth. They're always doing meth in the South.
I was wondering where. Yeah, I know. I was wondering. Is he going there? Yeah. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, right. No wonder the burger tasted kind of odd. I'm not a huge fan of Crystal. It's okay, but I do love White Castle.
Yeah, they don't have it here, but they have White Castle like packages up little shitty versions of their burgers, and they freeze them and they put it in the freezer section in some of the grocery stores around here. So I've eaten those, and you know they're pretty horrible. I know they taste nothing like the real thing, but I'm still like, oh, I just imagine what the real thing tastes like, and I need to go. Mm. It's East Coast only, right? It's only East Coast.
No, they do have they actually have one in Vegas. And they have them as far west as Kansas, I believe.
I'm just going to fly to Vegas just to get White Castle.
Right, yeah.
I guess our chain in Portland would probably be a little Big Burger. Would be like our biggest chain in Portland.
Yeah, there's actually this one that's like a copy. It just opened up. It's like a copy of In-N-Out. Oh, fuck, what is it? But yeah, it's not a chain. You're right. Little Big Burger is probably the closest. They're little sliders, sort of, but they're not really sliders because they got like these giant meat patties on them. And it's like a big, like pub burger that you would get, but they just shrunk it down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not like thin, like slider patties. It's like big beef patties that are cooked medium rare. And like, they're actually really good. They're really good.
That's awesome. You know, there was this bar I went to once in Colorado. It's, and they had like, meatball sliders, and they were really good. Cause on the outside of the buns, they had like the Parmesan cheese and everything, and they were so good.
Like some marinara on there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hey, Ankit, you grew up in Nevada. Do you have any good like Vegas stories or any interesting Vegas stories or anything?
not really. I mean, I did work in Vegas for a travel assignment, but I grew up in Reno.
I mean, like, you did know, you ever go to like the Bunny Ranch or anything?
You know, I did not.
His wife, Josh, he would not tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I
admire you.
That's just. I do have friends that did that, and you know, one thing that does not make sense to me. Friend. Yeah, you know what? One thing that does not make sense to me
cost too much money.
Is it does. But like people they'll go to like 4th Street in downtown where kind of all the hookers and the prostitutes hang out.
Yep.
And like, I mean like, yeah, like prostitution is legal in Nevada, but like you can't just like pay any random girl in a bar to have sex with you. You have to like go to a legal brothel and things like that.
Right.
But like, so they have like, you know, a lot of times people will go to downtown or 4th Street and, you know, try to pay hookers to, you know, have sex with them, and a lot of times the people get caught because it's like a sting operation of some sort, right. And it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, you know, if you're paying several hundred dollars, why don't you just go to a brothel and have it done legally? But I guess it's the excitement of the whole thing. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
No, you're right, man. Yeah.
Did they have brothels in Reno or?
I think there were more. I can't think of any that were in Reno. A lot of them were kind of more in the outskirts or more in the rural areas of Nevada. Yeah, so it's
there's lots of like sex, like eliciting, but it's not legal. It's kind of like
right.
What he's saying. There's lots of people that hand you cards or whatever, but it's not all legal. The legal stuff is like on the outskirts and weird counties, I think, and stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What I've always heard. Yeah, yeah, I just wondered if growing up in Nevada, you know, if you had any like friends or anything that like, you know, got caught in a sting or
anything
like that.
We did actually. We knew a couple of people that did get caught in a sting.
I bet, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So they did something stupid. They got caught, and you know the thing is when you have that happen, they publish your name in the newspaper, you know, for the world to see. And
I guess you just got to move after that, huh?
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't have a wife.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Just buy all the papers that day.
Right.
Like, honey, I was getting her for a friend.
Yeah, I was she wasn't mine. I was holding it for a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you know, just like the whole, you know, thing, sticking it up your butt thing. Yeah, I have no idea how she ended up there. Wow. Yeah.
It wasn't me. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's funny.
I was trying to ask for directions.
I know, oh, boy. I've never been to Vegas, but we did, I went to Reno with some friends, and we had my friend the previous Halloween had dressed up as Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911, that funny like cop comedy show, and he brought his get up to Reno and he wore it walking down the street. It's not even Halloween, it's just a random day, and he's got like the tiny little shorty shorts on, full sheriff outfit. He's just walking down, the people are like hooting and hollering everywhere. Everyone's like Dangle. There was no joke, like this like pimp guy, and he had like this tricked out Cadillac with like these giant like shiny rims. He has like a pimp outfit on. I don't know if it was a costume or if it was for real. And he's like, yeah! And he honks. He's like, yeah! It was the funniest shit ever. I was like, wow, that is a hit. I thought people would like hate it or think it was stupid, but no.
Is that the new Boot Goofin' Cop?
Yeah, that's a new Boot Goofin' Cop. He's the ridiculous skinny dude.
Yeah. There's a skit they do in one of the episodes where he's like getting new boots. And he's just, I don't know. Yeah, he gets new boots and he's like hopping around. And he says he's new boot goofing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we thought it was hilarious.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Look, and it's just like these white like cowboy boots. And he's like, yeah. He's strutting in them. And then he goes out and he rode a bike there, like a little BMX bike. I can't remember. I think he took it from someone, confiscated. Anyways, he rode some bike there. And then he comes out. And the center frame, like his bike's frame, is wrapped around a telephone pole. Yeah. And he's like, how the fuck? It's like 50 feet up. Someone would have to like lace it through.
It's hilarious.
I love that show. So good.
God damn it. It'd be funny just to do that to someone's bike.
Yeah.
Or just do that to your own bike and just like see people's reactions when they walk by. You know what I mean? Like in the middle of the night, just like climb up a pole and just like lower the middle of the frame down the pole.
Or just like do a killer, like cut it and do a killer weld and like cover it up somehow, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So what do you guys have planned for the rest of the night after here?
Nothing. I don't know. I'm gonna go watch TV and hang out and
I'm a jerk off, go to bed.
Yeah. Awesome.
Brett's gonna go buy a vibrating egg and...
Yeah. Are you at least waiting till after the podcast?
Yeah. That's gonna be the hard cut.
I prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna smoke pot until I pass out.
Josh is fine.
Is it legal out there yet in Oregon?
Yeah, because
Colorado and Washington were the first, right? Now all the other states are jumping on.
We were second. I think we were second with someone else. I forget who.
Oh, okay, cool. But, no, it's good. They got to legalize that everywhere, man. It's about time.
Yeah, it was medical for years here, too. So, and it's just like a great place for growing things. So there's been lots of good weed in Oregon for a long time. So it was weird.
I said
almost nothing. It felt like nothing changed, like, at least in like Portland, because people would just smoke all the time anyways, and it'd be like at events people are smoking, you smell it, and I mean it's changed obviously a lot, like there's stores and stuff, but now it's just like, oh, now it's legal, but everyone's kind of just doing the same fucking thing anyways.
You hit the
nail on the head. It's just kind of like all of a sudden there's stores now, but people are still doing about the same thing.
It was the same way in Colorado, I felt. And then I mean there's like a dispensary right, you know, a mile from our house and everything, but it's like, yeah, before, and even if people got caught, like it was like a slap on the wrist at most.
Yeah, you know, so it's a ticket even, here, right? It wasn't even, it's like, wasn't even criminal.
And now unless you get caught selling weed like me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, boy.
but not anymore.
Yeah, so they legalized it. So Josh had to move on to harder drugs.
Yeah.
Then I got married and had kids and shit. So.
They
need to legalize that stuff everywhere. It has so many benefits.
Yeah.
You know, it's just But
I know. I've been doing. I don't really smoke very often, but I did. I got some edibles and they've lasted me. I got like a little container of them. And then me and my girlfriend will just do them on the weekends, you know, like, let's fucking take an edible and go to the Christmas expo. And we're just like high as shit. Like, all right, we're going to buy some of those pretzels. We're gonna buy some of that burger mix. Like we just leave there with like a handful of food. We're just like, oh shit, this is a horrible idea.
You know what actually has been the biggest change I've noticed since legalization is hearing about people that I never would have thought doing it. Like our dad actually recently bought some edibles, and like he's always just been kind of like he was the last person I would think.
He got edibles?
Yeah, he has edibles right now in the cupboard.
Wow! Oh, wow!
What? No way!
You guys didn't know that?
No,
I had no idea.
He was taking them when we were in Lapine, when we were up in, or Sun River.
Holy shit!
Up in Bend.
That's hilarious.
Are they CBD only, or are they both THC?
I don't know, but he said he like tried ones that had he was telling me they were CBD ones, but then he told me he tried ones. Then he felt a little stupid from them. He's like, I was watching TV and I watched like half hour of a show and I couldn't remember what I watched. He's like, I didn't really like it.
He's like, usually I can watch a full hour and not remember.
Yeah, that's too funny. I heard he was doing some CBD stuff. That's funny. He took some THC ones. Yeah, and that's the other good benefit of it is, like, you can bring it up to, you know, your older family members. Like, grandma, you can be like, because they can't deny it anymore. You know, it's legal and it's everywhere, so you don't have to hide it as much, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But
for sure, yeah.
Not that it's a huge deal, but it's nice.
You ain't getting any weed out there in Georgia.
Yeah, no, I don't even think it's legal medically out here. Really? Yeah, so... yeah, I don't believe so. Yeah,
that's
I think it'll happen in time.
Oh, that's where they do the stings like meth, where they like catch people buying bags of weed and they set them up. You know,
really? They do that? Yeah.
Have you ever seen? Have you ever watched an episode of Cops, dude, where they were doing busts on people buying weed? They were buying like 20 bags of weed and they were like arresting them and sending them to jail.
Wait, like nowadays though?
Well, no, it was a while back.
It's still crazy to think of, though. You're like, wow. I mean, we're going down to the store and buying it legally and telling our grandmas about it, and our dad's eating it. And there's people 5 years ago who are going to jail.
You know? Right now, right now, there are people who got arrested in like the 70s and the 80s.
Are in prison.
They're in prison right now.
Got raped. Are completely broke. Their family's torn apart. And and all because they're doing what we're doing right now in our houses legally.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's
so bad. Victim of the times. Victim of the times.
Yep. Exactly. It's a shame. Hopefully it's I'm hoping it like each state eventually follows suit and it can finally be legalized. It's funny because we were in my wife and I did a Europe tour a couple months back and
weed's horrible. The weed's horrible.
What's that?
The weed's horrible there. They don't have good weed. It's all horrible. It's all illegal. Except for Amsterdam. Yeah. That's like the exception.
Exactly. Yeah. And then like, it's funny because like you probably saw like you can walk into any like gift shop and they have it like right there on the shelves, like the edibles and the.
Yeah. Mushrooms the, you know, like too. They legalize mushrooms as well, which is something I heard that Oregon is talking about. I know I saw some news article. I don't know if it's like fake news or what, but apparently they're talking about legalizing other hallucinogens like mushrooms and stuff.
Heard the same thing.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. But we actually in Amsterdam we got them and we were curious. So we're from Oregon. I've done mushrooms before. I've done pretty strong ones. I've done it a few times, and I was with my buddy Max and we bought some and he was like, "I bet you they're weak as shit." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about? It's Amsterdam." And he's like, "Yeah, I bet you." And so we ate them. And then we went to the beach actually that day in like the Netherlands and we got to the beach. And sure enough, they are weak. But then it makes a lot of sense, too, because you're like, you don't want these tourists who have never experienced any hallucinogen in their entire life come visit Amsterdam on vacation and take these super potent mushrooms and freak out and want to go to the hospital and think they're dying and stuff.
Right.
So they like, so it makes sense. They give you like less potent stuff. But the weed's really good there. But I'd say it's about like Oregon weed. It's really good. But everywhere else in Europe we went was everyone had hash, quote unquote, which is just like an excuse to sell you like really shitty, like broken down bits of like probably leaves or I don't know what the fuck they used to make it, but it was just like this really shitty weed. And they'd be like, hash. And you're just like, no, dude, I'm from Oregon. I know you don't understand what that means, but I do not want to buy your hash from you. And it's all illegal and super, super sketchy. Like these guys would be like, they'd be like, "You want a beer?" And I'd be like, "No, no beer." And they'd be like, "You want hash?" "No, I don't want hash from you." And they'd be like, "Cocaine?" I'm like, "No, what makes you think if I don't want to buy beer or hash for you that I also want to
keep going further down
yeah,
the road?"
Yeah,
you're like, Jesus. Crystal meth?
Yeah.
Like, no.
And this is awesome. This podcast kind of reminds me of the Joe Rogan podcast a little bit, you know?
Oh, dude, all right, you just made our day.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of shooting the shit about whatever, you know?
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
Hey, how do you guys feel about DMT?